Hi, friends. This is Armando Middle back with you with the Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. The amazing WBAI survivors. We've gotten through it, not with any great help from anyone but you. So here we are today, back with you with almost all of our facilities available, one or two still not. But we're working as one of the most hard-hit spots in all of New York by the storm. We are recovering, and special thanks to the amazing work that they've done here to keep this going and to keep this program back with you. Today, I want to be talking about something very unique, very different, very special. A few months ago, Lisa Arnone and I were putting a package together of what we called Lessons for Psychotherapists. And the premise of it was that we had, as I would teach to a supervisory class of psychotherapists who were learning from me. Lisa came to me with the question, and I told her, I said, okay, if you're willing to. And then she proposed, why don't we put that on the air, because what you're saying is different than what you would say or what someone would say to the average person. What you're saying is unique. It turns out that the lessons for the psychotherapists are not very different than some of the lessons that most people could use to live a more positively minded life. As a psychotherapist, what your job is to help a person correct a dysfunctional function of their life and make it better. Your job is not to advise, not to tell them what to do. That's not psychotherapy. That's advice. That's counseling. Your job is to help build a person's strength. And the way that I believe you build a person's strength the most is through personal insight. Personal insight, knowing who you are and why you are and what you really are, not just the story you tell yourself. Okay. So one step further along that way is how I, when I used to do psychotherapy all the time, which I don't do now, would help a person grow in their personal insight. The following technique I call criminal intention. Of course, you're going to have a major reaction to the word criminal, and you're going to say, oh no, how could it be criminal if it's just human? You see, I think the idea is for us to learn that we, as survivors, as children, develop strategies that were not kind, that were really to help ourselves survive, and nothing other. That's the only job. We don't care about anything else. We did it consciously, and we did it unconsciously. For example, let's say you're the oldest child, and or you're the only, if you're the oldest child, therefore, once in your life, you were the only child. And being an only child is kind of a good spot to be. Mommy and daddy love you. They take care of you. You are the apple of their eye. You're wonderful. Okay? That's perfect. Then another child is born, and that puts you in a predicament. Because now you go from being the only child, the special one, to being the not-so-special one, being the one that's already grown up, doesn't get the pampering, and you watch. You watch as mama feeds the new baby with her breast, and you're off on the side saying, hey, what happened to me? So you need to have a strategy to deal with this rage. Many older children think about throwing the baby out the window, hiding it in the trash, killing the child, helping the child die. But if you're 3 years old or 4 years old, you think of that as prohibitive because somewhere it was drilled into your mind, you're not allowed to think that way. So what do you do? Well, most children who were the only child, who become the older child, decide that the way that they're going to get approval from mommy and daddy is if they show love for this baby child. You have to show love. You have to adore the baby. You have to see the baby. I know I have a young friend who had a son. The son was fine. A girl was born. He cuddles that baby right and left. But if you ever look at them playing, you could see he's got these little resentments, these little hateful things that he does. But the parents would never see it. As far as they go, he loves his baby sister. So you've got to, if you have any animosity or resistance or resentment towards that person, what you do is you hide it. And you hide it behind loving. Now you want to rock the baby. Now you want to take care of the child. Now you want to be mother to the child. Well, the parents look at this thinking it's very cute, but here's your strategy. So your strategy is, I really am going to show love for this child. But the criminal intention is, I've got to somehow deal with the situation where this child has taken over the specialness. I've got to resume the position of specialness, and I'll do that by taking care of the child so that my parents will see me and admire me. Behind the criminal intention, the older child says to themselves, and somehow later on, I'll get even. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. A program about learning about yourself, trying to uncover yourself, and I'm trying to teach a technique, a method for you to use to uncover more of your own questionable intention. Because the way I figure it, the more about yourself that you see, the happier you're going to be. You don't have to be a saint. Many people think that it's the therapist's job to tell you about your underlying emotions. And therapists do this frequently. Therapists will tell you, oh, the reason you hate authorities is because you have trouble with your father. Therapists do that. They do that. And that's part of what is considered therapy. Ideally, the therapist doesn't do that. Ideally, the therapist leads you to uncover this for yourself. So, in other words, instead of you saying, I have trouble with authority, the therapist might ask you, you seem to have this recurrent problem with people who are in authority figures. Do you have any idea why that is a problem and where that comes from? That's more of an ideal way that a therapist would guide a person to learning about themselves and practicing the art of self-discovery. So today I'm going to teach you a technique, a method for you to learn about yourself even better. And it's a fabulous technique. I mean, I wish the world practiced it. If so, nobody would be angry. If so, you would understand other people and yourself as well. So let's look at how it's done. The way that it's done is you take any situation that you're in and you unmask it. Unmask. How do you take the mask off? You take off the thing that looks so, that is so unreal. How often have you seen people who are smiling all the time? If I see somebody who smiles all the time, I don't believe the smile. I know underneath that smile, you know, in fact, when I see somebody who smiles all the time, and I've seen quite a few, I think of gorillas who bare their teeth as a way of showing their aggression. A big, broad, permanent smile does not tell me a person is happy. It tells me this person is warning me and trying to disarm me at the same time. Does that mean I don't like smiles? No, I love smiles. I smile as much as possible myself. But you know what I'm talking about, those happy-go-lucky people, the people who are really smiling all the time. the mask, people who are happy all the time, there's something about their happiness that tells you, you know, there's something wrong with this. I can't believe a person is that happy that often. People who are depressed all the time, a similar kind of mask. These are all masks that we wear for one reason or another. It's a strategy. And today we're going to talk about how to uncover this strategy in ourselves. This is Armand DeMille with you, which is another of our lessons on techniques that are used in psychotherapy to help you learn about yourself. And these are things that you could do yourself. You don't have to go into therapy. Learn about these. Learn. It's a wonderful tool. But at this time, I want to warn you something about personal insight. Personal insight is not something you could put on somebody else. You cannot tell other people about their underlying motivation. The mind is a funny thing. It has this veil up, and this veil protects us from seeing ourselves. That veil becomes very important. If somebody strips that veil away, the inside is so strong that you can create an enemy of this other person. So let's say you're having trouble with a relationship and you're having trouble with somebody who you care about a great deal. And you'd like to tell him or her about what you perceive and what you see. If you're saying to them, look, you're treating me like I'm your mother or I'm your father. And that's it. That's it. You can create a permanent separation by doing that. This happens, by the way, even with hormonal things that are noticeable. If you know there's somebody going through hormonal changes, you know, how often do you think it would be that if you say to somebody, you're in the middle of, hey, you always get this thing premenstrually, and I think you're going through that, and it's having this major reaction. How often do you think the person's going to turn around to you and say, oh, that's what it is. Thank you very much. No, most often they get angry, and they defend themselves against you even further. No, personal insight is something you use for yourself. You do not use it as an invasive tool. You may use it to observe people, to see people, to be people that you're involved with. But try not to be a shrink to people. It doesn't get you any pluses. Now getting back to the technique of criminal intention. It's fun, my friends. It's fun. Learning about yourself is fun. You would be amazed at what things are like. Would it be interesting to be a blood cell going through your entire body? Imagine if you could take that trip and you could see every part of you from the inside. What a wonderful journey that would be. So if you could go in and you just take this journey through, and then you come out the other side, and you come out one day and you get back to real life and you say, wow, now I understand what that feels like. Now I see what a rapid heartbeat is like. So this is a journey through your mind to learn how your mind functions. The object of this, the most important thing here, is for you to take the risk to say, to make it true. For example, if a person is a smiling person, I knew a person. This is a great story, unbelievable story. There's this woman who had a number of children. Her children were adults, married, separated, three boys and a girl. She had a boyfriend. And when she had this boyfriend, it was a fiancé, they were going to get married, she had a couple of fights with him. Huge fights, I was told about. And these fights were so strong that in the middle of these fights, she became violent. She got to the point where she started hitting him. And she's hitting him, she's swinging at him, and she picked up a toy once and went to hit him in the head, threatened to crack his computer, threatened to rip his phone off, just for whatever reason. She was violently angry. He was no angel. What incited her was that he took her cell phone away and threatened not to give it back. Okay. Now, many of you know the way you feel about your cell phones. Would you hit somebody in the head with a blunt instrument because they wouldn't give you back your cell phone? So, obviously, things had gotten out of hand. A little later, he and she were sitting with the family, and they were sitting at some kind of a group event. And everybody, the sons were talking about how wonderful the mother was, how she had such a nice, calm, even disposition. And he said, well, you know, she gets really angry. And he said, the boyfriend said, I've had two or three incidents with her where she became violent. And they laughed. Mom violent? Never. She had brought up children to the age of at least 20 years. And through their entire time, they never saw her violence. She had a smile. She had a tolerance. But she never, ever got angry. And they said, we never even saw her get angry. There was one time when this person was having a breakdown, an emotional breakdown. And a boyfriend called the son and said, your mother is having an emotional breakdown. You have to get over there to see her. And the son laughed. My mother doesn't have emotional breakdowns. And she was. She was having a psychotic episode. So sometimes you carry a mask that's so strong that the people who think they know you think of you one way, but inside you have another. So this is Armand DeMille. We're talking about criminal intention, and I'll tell you what I mean by that. We're trying to unmask our own intention and things. How do we find out about ourselves? Let's say you're a typical person who's making a typical complaint, right? And the reason to go into therapy, I have an unhappy marriage, or I just ended a relationship, and I'm very depressed about ending the relationship. I don't like my job. I don't like the work that I'm doing. I don't like my body. I don't like getting older. I don't have any real friends. I don't like people who are weak. I don't like people who can't tell me the truth. And I hate people that lie to me. I can't stand it when people lie to me. When I uncover a lie, I break the friendship. How many of you feel that way? Betrayed over and over again. People not telling you the truth over and over again. What if we tried to do this from the point of criminal intention? Now, I would do this in therapy if I were convinced that I had established a positive relationship with a client so that the client really trusted me, because I'm going into very tender areas here. But you see, people don't come into therapy to get better. Usually they come into therapy to get better at what they normally do. They're not looking to really change. My job, of course, is if I see that what they normally do is dysfunctional, and if I help them make it functional, in a way I'm helping them repeat these same behaviors until they break down again. So my job is sometimes to try to slip in the wisdom that what you're doing is fine and we can get you back to square one, but we'd like to get you even better than that so that you won't have any of these problems in the future. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind, in case you just tuned in. We're here bringing you ideas about ways that you could make your life a little better. And I believe almost everybody could use whatever insight they have. So our first tool here is to understand that we tend to blame people for a reason. Why do we point at the other guy all the time? Why do we blame them for what we feel? Is it their fault? Is that what's making something happen? She did it to me. She made me feel this way. It's not me, it's what they did. As long as we continue to blame them, we can then have them defend themselves, or we could feel righteous. But if we took it from the point of criminal intention, we would say, oh, I made that happen. Let's see how I made that happen. I call it criminal intention because it's kind of a way of joking around with it. You know, of course we're not criminals. And of course, if we look at it, we're all innocents and we're all victims in our own way of dysfunctional people. But after a while, when we learn the strategies for how to survive, we have this secret little dark side that's always coming out trying to get things to be exactly as we would like them to be. And it just so happens, it works out. We get exactly what we want out of life. Now, how many of you can look inside and say, I created that? If you can, the difficulty is if you feel bad about what you created, then you're never going to be able to learn about yourself. A good example of this is a person I know whose child won't talk to her. She has a child, she has a son, he refuses to talk to his mother, refuses to. She has hounded him and done all kinds of things, and he just considers her to be darn right the worst influence in his life, so he refuses to talk to her. Her therapy is grief and groaning and moaning. Why won't he talk to me? Let's set up a negotiation. Let's get something to happen so that we can get him to talk to me. But I couldn't get her there until I got to her intention. Until I got this is exactly what she wanted. That she wanted to drive him away. And what we found underneath is that somewhere inside of her, she knew she was crazy. And she knew that she had an unusual need for her son. And she knew that she was trapping him over and over again, and he couldn't progress in his life. So some part of her drove him away intentionally. One might say it was altruistic. She did it for his own well-being. But in effect, she did it because she didn't want to be responsible for his destruction. It was selfish. So by doing all the wrong thing repeatedly, when you drive somebody away, you do it on purpose. Think about the husband and wife, the wife or the husband nags. If you nag enough, if you tell somebody what's wrong with them often enough, you know what's going to happen. They're eventually going to leave you one way or another. They may leave you by going to alcohol or drugs. They may leave you by having an affair with somebody else, or they may just leave you, period. You know as you're doing this, you know as you're talking to them, as you're saying these things to them over and over again, that on some level, you're creating some bad stuff. You wish to yourself that you wouldn't do it. You say to yourself, I know this is not the right thing to do. I should be more gentle and loving and kind, but I feel this distance and anger. And so you pick on each other and you pick on each other and you pick on each other till you drive the other person away. Then the other person starts an affair or a relationship, or they start drinking, they do something else, and you blame them for being weak. But the intention here was to drive them away. Why would we have an intention to drive someone away? Well, I believe that people who feel alone are alone because somewhere they determined that the only safe way to be is to be alone. And so what they do is they get in relationships, and when they have the relationship, there's yearning. They're yearning to just be away from the other person. And so you drive them away. There's a number of people I know who have courageously challenged this part of themselves. Are you somebody who drives people away? Do you make demands of such that make people leave you? Are you too needy? I know a man who was looking for a mate. He was so hungry, he was out of a relationship. He was so hungry for a relationship that any time he met anyone new, he promised them the world. He said, yes, this is it. I want to be with you. Absolutely. And he offered them so much that they all ran away. But he was driving them away because of his need, because of his desperation. So what we want to do is learn what it is that motivates us. And the way that we're going to learn what it is that motivates us is by looking at our intention, not the positive intention that we have, but the negative intention that we have, this other intention that is there to get us the situation that we're in. So, for example, if you have a relationship that's dysfunctional, if you're in a relationship where you feel like you're unhappy with your mate, this is what you want. You could claim this is not what you want, but this is what you want. I know a man who's attracted to only very dynamic, passionate women. And every time he finds one and they have a wonderful relationship, he has this relationship that lasts for a short period of time, but he's so aware of himself that he now says, I know this is good for a month. I know it's good for 2 months. I know it's good for 3 months, but I know this is going to end because I always drive them away. And sure as all hell, he does. Do you drive people away? And if you did, would you be willing to look at it without blaming yourself? Because the problem is, if you criticize yourself, when you observe yourself, then yourself won't let you observe it. So this is to be a form of self-inquiry that's beyond self-criticism, which is very tough. Very tough, because you want to hit yourself over the head with a bat sometimes for the way you behave with people. But that's the idea. So this is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind. We're not able to take your calls yet, which we will soon. And because we won't take your calls, we'll continue with this as we get back from our break. We're going to take a short break shortly. What I'm trying to talk about today is the intention that we have that's underneath what our situation is. We have an actual intention to find and get ourselves in a position that we're in. That no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, no matter what you're unhappy with, somehow some part of you is invested in having that very thing just the way it is. And if you discover that, if you uncover that, it's really terrific. Do you know why most people are alone? Because they want to be. If I meet someone, who says to me, I have no relationship now, I'm really, and they're in their 50s, 60s, you know, and they say, I'm looking for the right person. It's not they're looking for the right person. They probably found the right person being alone. What they're looking for is somebody else who might possibly help them fill the space. But most people who are alone want to be alone. They're loners. You got a son or daughter and you're worried about them because they're not in a relationship. They don't want the relationship. They don't want it. If they did want it, it would be there. For most people, it's a matter of just getting to learn. It's a piece of you that feels so much safer and better when you're all on your own. When we get back from the break, I'm going to show you the extreme way of being able to look at yourself very dynamic with the help of a Voyager that I know. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind. We're going to be back with you. Can't take your calls yet, but you could go to thepositivemind.com and do support WBAI through our buddy system. Go to WBAI.org and make your donation to the station. We need it. We're recovering. It's like warm clothing. We'll be right back.
I want something more, someone more like me. There's times we miss dress rehearsal, seems incomplete.
This is Julian Joiello, and I'm a listener and supporter of WBAI. I'm 20 years old, and I'm a student at NYU, and I live in New York City. And I want to shout out to the other young listeners of WBAI. We have to help keep the station going, and the easiest way to do it is through the WBAI Buddy System. If you donate as little as $10 a month, you have proactively promoted free speech radio. Go to the website, WBAI.org, click the donate button, and make a difference.
This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. Normally Tuesdays and Wednesdays here on WBAI, we will have a fun drive tomorrow. Wednesday, it's going to be an unusual program because it's the fourth Wednesday of the month, giving room to another programmer. And I will be back with you the following Tuesday, at which time we'll be able to take your calls, which we can't do right now because our telephones are still quirky. Hey, so we're talking about criminal intention. Now, this is a very important thing. And I get this from the work that I've done in teaching therapists how to help patients develop introspection. Well, patience is a funny word. Huh? Introspection is a funny word. It means being able to understand yourself better. And if you could understand yourself better, would you be able to talk about yourself in a way that doesn't make you feel bad about yourself? That's what's important. You don't want to be able to uncover yourself without self-criticism. That's the job of the therapist, and that's your job. If you could do it, you could really get to understand who you are. To help me with this, I'm going to present you with something that was written by someone who was one of those brave people willing to look at herself. And she was just amazingly willing to learn who she was and how she got where she was, a real voyager. And I'm going to read to you what she wrote to me as she uncovered her intention. Originally, she was blaming the world for the way she is and blaming the people around her. Here's the way she grew, and this is her presentation of self. Now, you should know that she's an attractive young woman who is very much there with everybody, and everybody admires her. She says, I present myself as a sparkling, knowing, nice, creative, dark, smart, flirtatious person. I exhibit an incredible energy, intensity, curiosity, interest. My whole body speaks to people. I act as though I don't see any reason to hesitate. I don't let on as to any problems I might see with a person or with what they're saying. I assume doubt is a necessary precondition of any relationship. Now, let's just start with that. At the beginning, when you meet someone, don't you observe things that you don't talk about, that you don't say? Things that are quiet in your mind. So you're going on two places. You're meeting a person for the first time, and you're recording a whole bunch of information, sometimes stuff that would preclude a real relationship. But we know there's one part of you, maybe sparkly and nice. Like I talked about my friend who was always smiling. She's always nice. She's always smiling. But behind her mind, she's got secrets. Secrets all the time. So said this one voyager, once a relationship is established, after an indeterminate amount of time, I show my dark side, my concerns, my critical mind, my hyper-awareness, my incredible reasonable negativity, my desire to face anything, to learn anything, to watch the gore, to witness the blood. Now that's brave. to be able to know that about yourself. After the relationship is uncovered, after some amount of time, I show my concerns, my critical mind, my hyper-awareness. So all that time, whoever was in a relationship with this person would be saying, oh, she's so lovely, she's so loving, she's so kind, she's not really critical of anything, she's a beautiful human being. But all that time, she's recording this information. My incredibly reasonable negativity, the kind of negativity that always seems to have some kind of logic to it that you can't get a person out of. Beginning there, I scare people. And this fear is the heart of a certain frustration that I build into people who get to know me. Are people afraid of you? That's what I ask you. Do people fear certain parts of you? Are they afraid you getting upset? Are they afraid you being frustrated? Are they afraid of you getting angry? All of these are the things that you build into people. I'll go back to my Voyager. It's hard to top the initial feelings of excitement, wonder, energy, pure intensity, sexuality that I could conjure into a budding relationship. At the beginning of a relationship, I can make anybody feel like a king or queen. I can bring so much energy and pleasure, willingness and openness. I'll be there whenever you want me, however you want me. And I bring that in at the beginning. It's hard. It's hard to even doubt that. It's hard to, but not impossible. Because some people sense it. But if they're needy, they swallow it right up. They swallow every bit that I send them. Once the intensity of my negativity becomes visible to someone, I know that they cannot forget it. And I have this in mind for the entire future of the relationship. From then on, I have a way out of anything and everything because I know I could cripple them with my negativity. Imagine if you knew that about yourself. Imagine if you knew that your creativity is your way out of every relationship. It's kind of remarkable. She writes, I watch as people struggle with their fear of disappointing me. I get to a point with my negativity that I have people always trying to please me. And I see as they get frustrated with their fear of disappointing me, their fear of telling me something I don't want to hear, their fear of my wrath, their fear of my withdrawal. I can pull away so far and I become silent. And when I become silent, I watch them stupidly talking to kind of get some kind of conversation going. And in my silence, behind my quiet place, I'm just hating them all the while. In every relationship, I allow myself a chance to break people off completely when I engender their fear towards me. When someone behaves as though they're afraid of me, this causes me to write them off completely. It makes me think the person is too weak for me. Anyone who could be scared so easily, scared of me, is not someone I easily respect. And I keep looking to see if there's someone out there I could respect. But even if I could find them, I'll break them down. Because that's what I do. This is Armando Mill with you with The Positive Mind. We're talking about a concept called criminal intention. I'm reading you the report of someone talking about herself with just the amazing amount of courage. She said, I became an echo chamber so that nobody can see me. I hide successfully. I love when people lie to me because it's what they think I want to hear. It proves to me over and over again that no one is worth my while. Isn't that amazing? I love when people lie to me. How often do you see people lying to you? And you know you can put them in a certain category. You put them in a certain place. They're lying to me. Okay. I don't trust them. I have them so much at my mercy that they cherish everything I have to say. I love to get them mad at me. I love to get them to try to love me. I love to feel a person's need for my approval. When I could get to a point, if I get silent and negative enough, I start looking at them for their approval. They're looking for approval. They're looking to get me to smile. If they can get me to smile, they've achieved something. This is such an amazing thing. It's like I'm training them. I love to get them to try to love me because I thwart them incessantly. Every time they try to love me, I'll push them aside. I have them so much at my mercy that they cherish everything I have to say. I cry, I yell, I'm speechless. I'm so distraught that even before an argument erupts, they're so full of regret. They're afraid of what they're saying. They try desperately to find a way to backpedal. They completely abandon whatever was actually upsetting them. And they're completely focused on trying to make me happy again. Oh, what an amazing power I have over these people. Not a power I want to have necessarily, but it's the way I roll. I verbalize what they are afraid of. I tell them in plain language that I wish they could make it better, that I wish, really wish they could, but that they can't. This feeling is not pretend. I don't believe that anyone can help me, and the realness of that feeling crushes me. I cannot and do not hide this. It's plain for people to see. It comes out at work, in love, and with family. Everyone who is around me for long enough has seen it. With a new lover, I withhold my judgment, my skill, my true appetites. At first, I'd let a man think he's doing such a great job, because I get excited. I encourage him to watch me get excited. I make believe he's the absolutely best lover. I make my lover feel so totally inadequate after a while, because he could never satisfy me, and I just keep getting to the point of frustration. I do this to hide the core fear that my idea of sex, my creativity with sex, is unattractive. I want to hide that I'm the opposite of a stereotypical little girl. Even when I'm with a man who worships my sexual creativity and power, I undermine it. I work tirelessly to convince them that they really wanted a cute little girl. And a part of me is so afraid of what I am doing. A part of me is born with this intelligence, and I'm damned by it. I watch people's confusion, and I pity them for getting involved with me. I can't help but hate them for trying to love me. I can't help but hate myself for involving someone I love with me. Even if you're somebody who I admire and love, I would have you involved with me, and I would destroy you too. When I imagine somebody who says, I know you're this way, and I love you anyway. So there are people who see me, and they see all of my negativity, and they say, oh, I know that's the way you are, and I love you anyway. In a less complete way, but comforting way, I think of my brother, I think of my father, my mother, my ex-lovers. I give these people categories of credit for loving me still, for still being in my life, even without the sense of self. But I don't want people to love me for the way that I am. It's not helping me in any way. So anyway, and that's the end of the letter. That's the report of a person who took the courage to develop that kind of personal insight to understanding herself at a level that most people have to be trained to do. It takes you a while to get there. I am currently working with a group of men, asking them to unmask their intention. Who wants to unmask their intention? Why do you want to do it in the first place? I mean, the idea of intention is that you want to see that you're good, that you're innocent, that you're sweet. Who wants to see that you're such a miserable cuss keeping people at a distance? Well, so what if you are? So going back to about learning about yourself, see, the problem with this is if you go to a therapist and you say, here's what I'm doing. I met this man, and now he's falling in love with me, and I'm showing him my good side. And then in a little while, I'm going to show him my bad side. Then I'm going to start showing my anger and so on and so forth. The stupid therapist out there is going to immediately chastise you for being honest. He's going to say, well, are you going to follow the same game over and over again? Are you going to keep doing it? And they will criticize you in their own way for you telling the truth. This is what therapists tend to do. They don't know they do it, but they do it. And if you're a therapist who's listening, please don't say, I don't do it. But of course you think you do, because you're going to help this person get to a better level of honesty. The truth is, what you do help them with is if they could tell you, this is what I'm going to do, and you let them do it and let them continue and say, good, okay, this is where you are. This is where you are. This is the way you are. And follow them. Just by them involving you, by them letting you know who they are, and by them telling you who they are, they will grow. They will give it up. But if you criticize them, if you chastise them, if you tell them they have to be differently, they're going to just shut it down and you'll never see it. Then they're going to just show you therapy. They're going to show you relationship after relationship that they have where the other person is at fault. And then you, the frustrated therapist, are going to start criticizing and analyzing the mates that they choose. I mean, that's how desperate can you get as a therapist? So the object is to learn about yourself. The object is for you to learn and be able to present yourself best done in a group. I'm currently practicing with a group that I know, a group of men who I'm asking them to please show this part of themselves. And please do not criticize each other. And they show it. They show their intention with nobody stepping on it. It's a very courageous thing for them to do. But I'm hoping that within this group, if they all could learn how to do it for themselves and do it with each other, that they will grow from this, as they've grown from so many of the things that they've done. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM, bringing you ideas, concepts, guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. We're talking about what I call criminal intention. Of course, it's not really criminal. But it's the dark side of us that creeps up. My special thanks to the one listener who shared that letter with us about her criminal intention, about the dark side of her that is so frustrated with being so smart. It's a horrible thing about being so intelligent. You can beat everybody. You can beat every therapist. You can be smarter than the therapist. You can make the therapist fall in love with you. You know what I mean? You could seduce anybody. And when I say seduction, I don't mean sexual seduction necessarily. It's charm. It's playfulness. It's giving. It's appreciation. It's seducing. And the trouble with seducing people is that they get to believe you, or they get to feed this other self of you, the self that's not true. So here's a number of areas where you can work and you can think about yourself. And if you would, send me a letter of your own truth. Think about love, your love relationship. What do you do consistency in love relationships to make to have that relationship become dysfunctional? For example, if you always wind up with a mate who lies to you, you can see if you look back that there's a... How did you get that mate to constantly lie to you? Probably by an overreaction. Whenever they told you a truth, you're going to react a certain way. There are things you're telling them, do not tell me. Don't tell me if you cheat on me. Don't tell me if you find somebody else attractive. Well, okay, so what are they supposed to do, lie to you? And then you discover a lie and you get very angry. And so that's one area, love. What about in friendships? A question that I ask during every interview with a client when they come in is, I say, who do you really trust? And everybody says, oh, I trust a lot of people. I trust a lot of people with everything. Well, not with everything. I trust only a certain number of people. What is your selection of friendships? What kind of friendships do you choose? If you were to write a letter about the failed relationships in your life, especially among friends, what would you say was your criminal intention of what you were looking for? I was looking for somebody to admire me. I was looking for somebody who would think I was wise. I was looking for somebody who could lead me out to a certain thing. What were you really looking for in all those failed relationships? And what about at work? What is it about in your work life? What are you doing in your work life? Are you doing what you want to be doing? And finally, my friends, what about in your heart? Are you at peace? Or are you always on guard? And that becomes the question that we ask ourselves. So part of psychotherapy, the idea of psychotherapy, and I don't mean to be pushing psychotherapy because I guess you could hear that I don't believe very much that the way it's practiced is perfect. But the art of psychotherapy is trying to help you turn towards seeing and understanding yourself. When you have an understanding of yourself, you get an amazing tool for learning how to be in the world. It's just like you never know who's really driving your car. How could you tell what direction you're going? This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're going to be leaving you now. If you want to hear more about this, or if you want a replay of this, you can go to the website, thepositivemind.com. I'll be rebroadcasting it on that website, or WBAI.org, and they're still working to make everything work. Hopefully the telephone man will have us all fixed up real soon. It was a mess, but it's wonderful too, because here we are in the absolute middle of everything. I will be back with you next Tuesday at 1 p.m. If there's any programs you haven't heard or want to hear, go to the website, positivemind.com. But I would like to receive some emails in response to what we talked about today. I'd love to hear from you. Armand@thepositivemind.com. I'll be back with you next week, Tuesday at 1 p.m. Bye-bye for now. The fate we have. friends, this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Having been a little under the weather, as we all have, huh? Well, help us with our recovery. Go to WBAI.org and help us by joining the buddy system. The more people we have on a recurrent basis giving money to the station, the less we'll have to have fund drives. Help us cut down on those and we'll do what we can for you. WBAI.org, buddy. Make a difference.